Hey there, welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimek. Thanks so much for stopping by. Today is Tuesday, the 13th of June, the Feast of St. Anthony of Padua. We're going to take a look at the daily Mass readings, and then coming up later in the show, I'm going to be replaying an interview that I did with Father Thomas Daly. Father Thomas is he's an oblate of St. Francis de Sales, and he's written a book called Live Today Well, St. Francis de Sales, Simple Approach to Holiness. I love the book. I love these books where it helps us to keep the presence of the Lord throughout the day. I think that's one of the most challenging things that we can encounter in life, to remember to keep God's presence. Father Daly does a really nice job explaining it in this book, Live Today Well, coming to you from Sophia Institute Press. This is a replay of an interview that I did on my morning show in Philadelphia, Spirit in the Morning. So we'll play that for you. We'll have our usual segments from the Christophers and from Carlo Broussard, and I will do the daily Mass reading. So you got a lot coming up in these 30 minutes, as I do each day. Let's kick things off with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for the many things that you have given to us. Father, thank you for the gift of life, first of all. Thank you for being a loving Father. Thank you for never turning your back on us. Thank you for always forgiving us whenever we sin. Father, thank you for sending us Jesus. Thank you for the gift of the church and the sacraments. Thank you for preparing a place for us in your heavenly kingdom. We ask that you keep us close to you so that we may be able to live with you forever in heaven one day. We lift up all those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are struggling with doubt or despair. We ask that you help anyone struggling financially. We ask that you help those who may have abandoned you completely, who feel hopeless. Father, we lift up our own personal needs, whatever they may be. You know best what's right for us in our lives. We turn to you. We ask for your help. We ask you to guide us. We ask you to bless our priests, our religious, our deacons. We ask you to put an end to abortion. We ask you to increase vocations. We ask you to bring about peace in the world. And I ask you to speak through me on this program. Send your Holy Spirit to inspire my words so that your message can go forth from my lips. And we ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Anthony of Padua, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, thanks again for tuning into the program. I love doing the podcast again. Let me know what you think. Gary@followingthetruth.com. Let me know if you like the show. Let me know if you want it to continue. Whatever you want me to know, you let me know. Gary@followingthetruth.com is the place to go. Also, you know the deal. I want to come out to your church to lead a parish mission, to give a talk, to lead a retreat. Followingthetruth.com is the site to visit to find out how to bring me to your church, because I would love to do that. All right, let's see. Let's get right to it. Let's get right to these daily Mass readings. Again, these are for Tuesday. Of the Tuesday of the 10th week in Ordinary Time. To frame these readings, remember, there are 33 weeks in Ordinary Time. The 34th week in Ordinary Time is the Solemnity of Christ the King. So really, we've got 34 weeks in Ordinary Time. We're at week 10. So I'm not a math guy, but I think that I could safely say we are about a third of the way through the liturgical or the church year. What happens at the end of the church year? We begin a new year with the season of Advent. So we got about 20-some weeks before we head into Advent. I'm not going to rush things. I just want to let you know where we are. Okay, let's get right to these Mass readings. The first reading comes from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, verses 18 through 22. Brothers and sisters, as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was proclaimed to you by us, Silvanus and Timothy and me, was not yes and no, but yes has been in him. For however many are the promises of God, their yes is in him. Therefore the amen from us also goes through him to God for glory. But the one who gives us security with you in Christ and who anointed us is God. He has also put his seal upon us and given the Spirit in our hearts as a first installment. Now, there's a lot going on in this first reading. I think if you were to ask me what's the main takeaway from this reading, I would say this, that Christ was sent to earth by the Father so that God wouldn't be a distant God. God our Father did not want to be a distant God, and as the years went by, and of course it took thousands of years for him to do this, he would gradually reveal himself. He revealed himself ultimately in the person of Christ so that you and I can have a better idea of God, so that God is not distant, that he is not impersonal. He's very personal. And through Jesus Christ, we have seen the Father. Now, Jesus didn't want to be content to just travel around from one place to another in this life. So what he did was he did all of us a favor. He ascended to the Father in heaven and sent his Holy Spirit so that he can be with us wherever we go. And we've got that promise of the Holy Spirit. When you're baptized, you first receive the Holy Spirit. And then when you are confirmed, the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are strengthened in you. So if you've been baptized and confirmed, you've got that full Holy Spirit living and dwelling inside of you. That same Spirit that guided Jesus and whatever he did. Now remember, the church teaches that the Holy Spirit is really the love between the Father and the Son. That Holy Spirit dwells in you. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Why is it then that so many times we don't do the right thing? We don't do the right thing. We don't act as we should act. We don't say the things we should say. It's because the Holy Spirit doesn't force his way into our lives. He waits for us to follow him. He'll give us inspirations, but he will not force us to do anything. The key that we have to remember is for us to listen to the Holy Spirit, to be aware, first of all, to listen to what he has to say, and then respond to what he says, to the suggestions that he gives us. And that's a process, that's a lifelong process. We're all trying to get better at doing that, or we should all try to get better at doing that, and it gets easier with time. So let's ask the Holy Spirit to continue to work in us, and let's ask him to make us aware of his presence as we go throughout the day. And in terms of our job with all of this, what we need to do is try to focus on the Holy Spirit and try to pay better attention, and then pray for the grace to be able to respond. All right, let's do all these readings and we'll talk more. Psalm 19 is our responsorial psalm today. Lord, let your face shine on me. Wonderful are your decrees, therefore I observe them. The revelation of your words sheds light, gives understanding to the simple. I gasp with open mouth in my yearning for your commands. Turn to me in pity as you turn to those who love your name. Steady my footsteps according to your promise, and let no iniquity rule over me. Let your countenance shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. Psalm 119 is a very interesting psalm. It's the longest psalm in the book of Psalms, and it's all about the law. Now, you know, when you first hear that, in today's day and age, we look at the law, and it's a dirty word. We don't like that term. The law is restrictive. The law tells us what we're not allowed to do. We hear that, and we start to have this natural aversion toward the law. But keep in mind, at the time this psalm was written, the Israelites would view the law as communication from the Lord. They didn't have Jesus at the time this was written. So the law to them was representative of God's will for their lives. The law is not a bad thing, and that's why sometimes we'll look at the teachings of the church, the rules, the regulations. We look at them and say, no, I don't like these. I don't want to be restricted. I don't want the church to tell me what to do. But in reality, what's happening, the Lord through his church speaks to us. And the Lord wants us to get to heaven. That's what he wants more than anything. He wants us to make it to heaven. That is not a given. That is not a given that you and me are going to make it into heaven. What we have to do is in this life cooperate with the grace that he gives us. He's going to give us the grace. Avoid sin and lead a life of holiness. Does that mean you'll never sin? No, you're going to sin all the time. We're sinners. Now, we should try to not sin. We should fight against our vices. We should go to confession frequently. That's one of the beautiful things about the sacrament of confession. We could be absolved, forgiven for our sins. Absolved from our sins. Totally forgiven when we go to confession. But it doesn't end there. We also receive sacramental grace from the particular sacraments. And the sacrament, one of the graces that you receive in the sacrament of confession, is the strength to avoid the sins that you commit, some of which you commit over and over again. And as time goes on, and again, it's not going to happen overnight. You're going to be working on this for the rest of your life. As time goes on, you will probably notice, and I've noticed this in my life, I still mess up quite a bit, but I've noticed some improvement over certain areas of weakness. Go to confession frequently. Get that grace. And then be aware that the laws, the rules, the regulation of the Catholic Church exist to help you get to heaven. God knows what you need to get to heaven. He's not going to let us do things that harm us. And more important, for anyone who's listening to this who really wants peace in their lives, and I think that is one of the main goals for any of us. We want to be happy. We want to be peaceful. Following the laws of the church are how you're going to get there. That's going to bring you peace. You follow God's law, you will experience peace in your life. Give that a try. Look at it that way. Look at it as a gift, the teachings of the church as a gift. Look at the Holy Spirit, who not only dwells in us, but dwells in a very important way in the church to guide the church, to make sure that the church will never teach error. We got to believe that. You've got to have that constant teaching. That's the beauty of the Catholic faith. The gospel comes from Matthew today, chapter 5. Again, we're in the Sermon on the Mount. We started yesterday. Chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It's no longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountain cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and then put it under a bushel basket. It is set on a lampstand, where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your heavenly Father." There's a lot in these few short words. And what Jesus reminds us, first of all, the fact that the church is visible. We see in this gospel passage a representation of the church, the fact that the church is the light of the world. Yes, we individually, but more importantly, as the church, Christ founded a visible church. If you look at the evidence throughout sacred scripture, you realize that he founded a church to be visible. Some Christian denominations claim that that's not true, but it's pretty obvious that Christ founded a church to be visible. His statements, his actions all lead to that assertion. Now, he talks about being the salt of the earth. You and I are called to evangelize, to share the good news, to be Christ to those around us. But as Jesus says, salt can lose its taste. We can become lukewarm and stop being that light in the darkness. We can do it if we want. I lived many years not being a light to the world, not being a good example for anybody. And still, I still fail at that, but at least I understand my role. My role is to evangelize, to share Christ with those around me by the way I act and the way I speak. And really, if you get right down to it, by the way I think. A lot of times our actions and our words, they proceed from our thoughts. So if what I'm thinking between my two ears and my head is not good, then as a result, my words and my deeds are not going to be good. So we have to make sure. A lot of times you'll hear people say it's not important what you think. It is very important what you think. And you can sin mortally, gravely, with your thoughts. It is possible to do that. We are the light of the world. We are not, as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, meant to be hidden. We do not light a lamp and place it under a bushel basket. So I don't just work on my relationship with Christ for my own sake to make me feel good. I work to grow closer to Christ so that I can in turn do what? Share him with others. That's what we're called to do. My light must shine before others that people may see my good deeds and glorify my heavenly Father. You know, as I like to do when I get together and we talk with you and we talk about things such as this, I like to challenge it. I'm going to challenge you right now. Your actions today, if you're listening to this late in the day, did your actions, everything you did today, allow those around you to give glory to God through your actions? I know in my case, I can't always say that that is a true statement. That's the objective. That's where we want to get to in our lives. So every day, what we do should draw people closer to the Lord. And again, if you fall short, join the club. We all do it at times. But we don't want to continue to do it and just say, oh, well, can't do any better. We want to work on that. So let's do that together. Let's ask the Lord for the grace to be able to go out, share Him with those around us. Starts with a word. It starts with a kind deed. You can evangelize a little bit by using facts. You do all that. That's all part of the picture. But it's so easy to get challenged, to fall victim to that lie, which you'll hear so many times, that faith is a personal matter. It's between Jesus and me. It starts there, but it can't end there. All right? Sound good? When we come back, we're going to have an interview with Father Thomas Daly about his new book, Live Today Well, St. Francis de Sales' Simple Approach to Holiness. This is an interview that I did on my morning show, Spirit in the Morning, on Holy Spirit Radio in Philadelphia. I think you're going to enjoy that. Before we go to the interview, we're going to hear from Tony Rossi and the Christophers. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Father Thomas Daly.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Monica Gabriel felt confident that she wouldn't turn into a tantrum-throwing bridezilla as her wedding day approached. But then she convinced herself that she needed certain gifts from her bridal registry in order to create her idyllic, happy life. To make matters worse, her idea of the perfect honeymoon in Mexico was spoiled due to news about the Zika virus, which can cause medical problems in women hoping to become pregnant. Writing for Verily magazine, Monica admits she sulked and scowled until her fiancé Joe called her on it. She realized that she had gotten so caught up in the things of married life that she had forgotten the real cause of her joy, getting to spend her life with the man she loved. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
We are joined by Father Thomas Daly. Father Thomas Daly is a priest of the Oblates of St. Francis de Sales, and as of July 1st, he becomes the full-time Cardinal Foley Chair of Homiletics and Social Communications at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary. Father has written several books, including his most recent work, Live Well, Live Today Well, St. Francis de Sales, Simple Approach to Holiness, from Sophia Institute Press. This is a really good book. I'm always looking for resources to help me to live out the duties of my state of life. This is challenging for me, and encounter the Lord there. Now, that's a good endorsement for me. Obviously, I love the book, but before I turn it over to Father, I want to read an endorsement from our own Archbishop Charles Chaput about this book. The Archbishop said this, a life-changing book for anyone who thought they were too busy to grow in holiness. Man, that's what it's all about. I love the message. Father Thomas Daly, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Gary.
Father, twice in 1 week, I really appreciate you making the time to be with us again.
You're quite welcome.
Okay, Father, St. Francis de Sales, you are an oblate. Obviously, you know about the spirituality of St. Francis de Sales, and many of our listeners might not be familiar with his spirituality, or really, they might not know the details of his life. Can you briefly tell us a little bit about St. Francis de Sales and what exactly Salesian spirituality is?
I'd be happy to, Gary, just as I explained to the Legatus group in Denver last week.
Oh, very good.
You're there in Florida this week.
Yeah.
St. Francis de Sales, we affectionately call him the other Francis, because he's a lot lesser known than the one from Assisi. Mm-hmm. But he was a bishop in what is now Geneva, Switzerland, mm-hmm. although he didn't live in Switzerland. He lived in a little town in France that was part of the Duchy of Savoy in the late 1500s, early 1600s. And what he became known for was his sense of sanctifying the ordinary elements of life. To live live the ordinary things extraordinarily well was kind of his message. And of course, at the time, 400 plus years ago, the idea of a universal call to holiness, as we refer to it nowadays, mm-hmm. was completely foreign. Totally out of touch with most of the people who thought if you wanted to be holy, you had to go live in a monastery somewhere and live a very rigorous kind of ascetical life. And he's most famous for writing a book called The Introduction to the Devout Life, which is really introducing people to the holiness that they can live. And the distinguishing factor there was his notion that holiness is not a preset sort of program for life. It's a way of living whatever vocation you are in. And so it's going to vary from vocation to vocation, from person to person, but every single one of us is called to holiness.
That's a great reminder, Father. I think that's very challenging, especially as we try to grow closer to the Lord. Sometimes we think, well, that means I need to spend more time in prayer, I need to spend more time in church. And while that may be true, we don't want to do that at the expense of our families, if we have a family, or at the expense of our jobs, whatever they may be, correct?
No, in fact, that's exactly his point. I think the common perception is holiness is an effort of life that is one among many or one in addition to all of the other responsibilities I have in life. His entire point is that holiness is something you live in and through the responsibilities you have in your vocation. It's not an extra added duty that one has. So one doesn't say all your prayers in the morning and then go to work as if they were multiple things. His idea is that you become holy in and through your work.
Yeah, very interesting. And the fact in the book's title, you mentioned this is a simple approach to holiness. Well, that got my attention because I find this challenging, Father. I find it challenging to live out holiness in my day-to-day duties. How is this a simple approach?
It's simple, not in the sense of being easy. Okay. It was a very deliberate word choice. But simple in the sense of changing my approach to what holiness is. It simplifies the notion that each single day that I live, and for Francis de Sales, in a sense, everything revolved around just one day, because really that's all the time we have. That's all the time that we have within our control. Certainly we have to do planning, and certainly memory is important. But right now, the present moment, that's where we are. That's where we live. So how can I make this day, this moment, an opportunity for holiness? If I can focus, sort of redirect my attention and redirect my intention to just what I'm doing now, then I can sanctify that and then move on to the next thing I have to do and then the next thing that I have to do. And sooner or later, living each day well, I end up living a lifetime well.
As someone who has always struggled with anxiety, and now I speak a lot about the topic because the Lord has really helped me to experience peace in my life. But as someone who's always struggled with anxiety and been concerned about the future, that's always been a difficult thing for me. This message really resonates, this idea of living the present moment. And if I could, I want to read a quote. You start the book off with this quote and ask you to explain a little bit about this from St. Francis de Sales. And he says this: "Let us be firmly resolved to serve God with our whole heart and life. Beyond that, let us have no care about tomorrow. Let us think only of living today well, and when tomorrow comes, it also will be today, and we can think of it then." And I really enjoy that. But Father, I want to ask you, does that mean, the idea of not being concerned about tomorrow, does that mean that we should never plan for the future?
Oh, not at all. Not at all. But planning for the future, strategizing, figuring out what we have to do, where we have to go, what we have to get ready. All of that, as with everything in life, has to happen within the context of our faith in the goodness of divine providence. Mm. In other words, his point there is not that we never think of the future.
Right.
It's natural that we do. But that we always put everything we think about or everything we plan or even everything we're concerned with and worried about, always have that within the context of or within the greater overarching reality that God provides, that God has us in his fatherly hand, that God is going to take care of us. I mean, that's what we believe.
Right.
And so if we really believe that, in a certain sense, we should never, ever worry about anything. But,
right.
Of course, naturally we do because we're human.
Mm-hmm.
So this notion of anxiety, in fact, for Francis de Sales, that was a huge topic. He said other than sin, it's the greatest evil that human beings suffer.
Wow.
And he wrote a lot about it precisely because that's where people are. His point is that we want to plan for eternity. We want to plan to be saints, but we can only do that today. So let's plan for eternity, but focus on today.
Great message. Father Thomas Daly, we have about 1 minute left. I just want to say, if you're listening at home and you are struggling to find the Lord in your day-to-day activities, this book is for you. Live Today Well, St. Francis de Sales, Simple Approach to Holiness, from Sophia Institute Press. Father Thomas Daly, thank you so much for joining us once again on the program. We just scratched the surface, Father, and I'd love to talk more about this at some point in the future with you.
You're
but
quite
before
welcome,
you
Gary.
Go, mm-hmm. Thank you, Father. Before we go, can we get a quick blessing from you?
Certainly. I invoke God's blessings upon you and all of your listeners. We ask St. Francis de Sales to intercede for us and give us help us with the graces to live each and every day well. And may God bless you all in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father Thomas Daly. Have a wonderful day.
And you too.
Atheists claim theists are essentially no different than atheists because we reject gods too, such as Greek and Roman gods. But this is plain absurdity. What's our reason? First, it's an abuse of language. A theist believes in at least one God. An atheist doesn't believe in any God. They're mutually exclusive terms. To say a theist is an atheist to most gods is like saying a married man is a bachelor to most women. Second, it's bad reasoning. To say I'm an atheist because I reject some gods is like saying I'm an anarchist, one who rejects all forms of government, because I reject communism and fascism, some forms of government. But that's silly. So the claim that atheists and theists are no different doesn't hold water. I'm Carlo Broussard with The Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Thank you, Carlo Broussard, and welcome back to the Gary Zimek Show. So glad to have you with us here on this Tuesday. Remember, if you listen to the program on iTunes or, I believe, on TuneIn Radio, I still haven't gotten this straight because they've changed it so many times, you may be listening to it a day late. I apologize for that. Really nothing I can do. If you want to hear the program each day, make it a point directly to go directly to blogtalkradio.com. And then search for the Gary Zimek Show. An easier way to do it, to listen to it live from Blog Talk Radio, is to go to my website, followingthetruth.com. Go to the radio page, and you'll be able to listen to it with the player that is contained right on the page, followingthetruth.com. Thank you for making this show a part of your day. Again, remember, I need your help to continue. I know if you're a listener to this program, you believe in the work that I do. I need to get some additional financial contributions in order to keep doing this podcast. And I never like to talk about money. It's one of my least favorite subjects, especially when I have to ask you for money. But I know that if the show went away again, as it had to before, you're going to come to me and say, Gary, why did you let us know when you need help? So I'm doing that right now. I'm saying, could you please make a donation to this program, to the work that I do? All you need to do is go to followingthetruth.com, go to the donate tab. You can donate securely through PayPal, either one-time donation or become a monthly sponsor. I certainly need some new monthly sponsors of the show. Again, thank you for your support. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your friendship. It means a lot to me. God willing, I plan to be back here tomorrow. I hope you'll be able to tune in. Let me know if there's anything you need, Gary at followingthetruth.com. Have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. God bless. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening. God bless you.